RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio.
And now, live on 670 The Score and the Odyssey app, it's Gabe Ramirez.
3, that's a magic number.
Morrell going to third, he will slide, he's got a triple.
Rose trying to get open, fires away. It's over! The Bulls win at the buzzer!
And here I am, Gabe Ramirez on 670 The Score, and man, leading you into the Christmas weekend. It's going to be great hanging out with you guys till 9 o'clock today. So, shout out to the people that are actually working and they keep 670 to score on, whether it's the app on your phone, you got your headphones in. My cousin used to do that all the time. Shout out to my cousin Ben. He would be, you know, have the headphones in, handling business in the evening while he was getting his work done. And then that's what some people do too. So, shout out to you. Make sure you hang out with me. It's going to be a great show. Going to be a little festive. But definitely sports centered, and the trifecta, which is what I get into first on my shows each and every time. It's essentially just, you know, I read stories just like you guys. We're all the same people, right? We go out there, we see what's available for us. But there's always three that stand out to me. That's what's called the trifecta. And so you'll get that in just a second. But I just want to let you know that, you know, the Bulls legend, and I questioned whether or not to throw that in my statement, and then I thought to myself, yeah, this guy is a legend. If you won multiple championships with the Chicago Bulls in the 90s, I don't care what your role was, you are a legend. Silly. Bulls legend Will Perdue said, the Bulls should use Vooch the way that this Western Conference team uses their superstar. I'm going to let you know who that is and what team he plays for after the trifecta.
Number 3.
Getting some burn, Dalen Terry, top of the key. Setting up Patrick Williams. Williams to the rack and a right-handed power dunk baseline left. Patrick Williams eating some Chicago rim at the UC.
That was a nice aggressive move right there. Again, this young team just kind of opened up the lane for Patrick.
And take the turnover with 5 seconds to go as Billy Donovan and Greg Popovich meet at midcourt. Offering great sportsmanship.
Yep.
They'll see each other and again in a couple of weeks in Texas. And this ball game is over. Bulls win! Bulls win! Bulls win! 114-95. Let's dance!
Your last dance, actually, by the way, was pretty good with Benny. You got to have to talk.
Bulls beat the San Antonio Spurs last night, 114-95. Two big moments right there. One, obviously, the victory call, the latter of the two clips with Chuck Swirsky right there. And the former was Pat Will going to the rack. Now, I've been saying it to anybody that's listening. I'm like, Pat Will doesn't care who's at the rim. It could be the number one shot blocker. It could be Rudy Gobert. He doesn't care. In his mind, I wish I could jump inside of his brain for that moment when he's right there on the elbow, extended elbow, and then he's just sitting there and he's like, I'm going to the rim with full authority, and he just slams it down. Shout out to Pat Will. Great game yesterday for the team. And, you know, Spiegs, I was on yesterday with Matt Spiegel, filling in for Parkins and Spiegel. And we got into the conversation about, you know, just the youth of the Chicago Bulls, what their mindset has been, what it is in the present. And, you know, it was just saying how, you know, sometimes you got guys like Pat Will and Kobe White who, you know, we've been hard on them, as we should be, because they're expected to contribute, right? But sometimes those guys, their feelings or their thoughts and everything is just suppressed by the talent and the overarching, air quote, stars that are on the floor with them at the same time. And then when you remove those figures and there is no ceiling above you and you're able to go out there and play your game, not only play your game, but I took two specific examples where I said, you know, Pat, I've been talking about Pat Will's mid-range game for a year now. Saying like, man, you know, I like how he gets to the rack. You know, I don't love the three-point shot. You know, not my favorite. You know, I like that he knocks it down. But his mid-range game looks like that's where he's his most comfortable. Jumping 7 feet higher than anyone else and then letting that thing go. And so, you know, and I said yesterday to Matt Spiegel, I said that mid-range is something that he sees DeMar DeRozan execute night in and night out. And someone that watches that, especially a younger guy, and especially if they feel like they have a good mid-range as well, says, I could do that. Because that's what you do when you're playing at this level, or, you know, when you're trying to move the ranks of whatever it is you're trying to move up. You say, I could do that. And then when given the opportunity, what do? You go out and execute. You shoot 7-for-11 from the field. You put up 18 points in 30 minutes. And you play a really well all-around game. Same thing for Kobe White. His comp or where you're trying to see something from is from Zach LaVine. Kobe White, we know he can shoot. That is without question. It's what happens when you get to the rack, the handles, the taking the contact, when you get to the rim, finishing around the cup. He sees Zach LaVine night in and night out execute that at a high level. And he says, damn, I can do that. And so when given the opportunity, that's what we've been seeing from Kobe White. An aggressive Kobe White. Someone that says, man, if I had 15 to 18 shots a game, I could put up 20 to 25, 30 points a game as well. And he's been proving that night in and night out. And what a fantastic job the Bulls have been doing just as a whole. There are definitely some pieces away, because I want to be very clear before we move on. Like, okay, cool. Bulls are better without Zach LaVine. Fine. But now what? Let's not just celebrate that as if that's some, you know, in-season tournament championship. And we're like, we did it, guys. We figured out that we're better without Zach LaVine. It's like, okay. You still have to go through the season and make the playoffs and then look at your team with a magnifying glass, trying to figure out where those holes are and try to figure out that's what AK is. It's a lot more to go. A lot more to go. But it'll be interesting to watch that thing play out.
Number two.
Bellinger leads at second. Swanson away from first. And the 1-2. Swinging a drive toward right center. Back goes Robert. Back near the stands. That ball is gone. A game-winning home run for Chris Morrell. Can you believe it? Listen to this crowd.
Now, why in the world would I be playing a highlight like that? That to me. So we were doing this thing. This video is coming out. I'll give you guys a sneak peek. Whoever's listening right now, you get the sneak peek, I guess, if that's what you want to call it. We're going to be having a video that is, you know, all the talent at the Score talking about, you know, what their biggest moment for 2023 was. That was mine. The Sox fan talking about Christopher Morel's. Because I just remember it. To me, that was the one moment during the year that I felt like a fan base really had a tidal wave of emotion come and change the direction of how people felt about something, specifically a team in Chicago. And so I feel like in that moment, I was like, damn, everybody thinks the Cubs are making the playoffs after that one. Damn, the Cubs are that good. Damn, Christopher Morel's a beast. Like, you start thinking all these things. And that, to me, was the moment during the year of all the sports teams and all the stuff that's happened that was, like, significant. But I also bring it up because I'm flipping through I'm old school. I go through Yahoo. So I got my Yahoo app and I'm sliding through it or whatever. And all my favorite teams pop up and when their next game is. And it said that the next game for the White Sox was February 23rd against the Chicago Cubs at Sloan Park. And it shocked me. That's why this is the trifecta, inside the trifecta, because that's a couple months away. It's December 22nd. So you're telling me in 2 months and a day, I get some baseball? That's crazy. And so that's what was shocking to me. And I wanted you guys to be living in that same mindset that I was just in, and how hopefully it's shocking you the same way that it shocked me. Is it shocking you, Alex Kuhn, producing today? I know you like baseball.
That baseball is just over two months away. Yeah, it always comes quickly, and it's shocking to me that we're already to the weekend before Christmas. So, yes, absolutely.
I just don't like the February in front of it, you know? It's kind of like basketball. You didn't like October being the start of basketball. You didn't like August being the start of football. But people start pushing their seasons back earlier and earlier. And then, so I see that February, it throws me through a loop. But either way, hey, if you're interested in when the next time the Cubs play or the White Sox, it's February 23rd.
Number one.
There's a rocket. Right field. Way back. Long gone. Number 44. Shohei Ohtani. Spectacular. As he reclaims Major League Baseball's home run lead.
Sometimes the best way to describe Shohei is in one word. Just wow. Shohei Ohtani, 115.7 miles per hour exit velocity on a home run. Remember, he punched out two in the top of the first.
Now, why in the world would I be thinking that Shohei Ohtani is going to be the number one person inside the trifecta on 6-7 this score? Well, it's because of this deferred money thing. And I start thinking about deferred money, and I say to myself, when you're talking about deferred money, is this... Because this isn't what broke people talk about. Like, hey, I'm going to defer my money till it... No. My money comes today. I want my money right now. And so this deferred money is like this rich people discussion. And it's so interesting that, you know, this can't be a thing in a couple of years, right? Like, where everyone just defers their money. I know it's been going on for a long time. Hi, Riley. And I know it's going on for a long time. And it just seems like it's like nothing is too much until it's too much is what I'm saying. And so for you to go get, you know, not only Shohei Ohtani, right, with all that money and deferred money and everything like that, but then you go get Yamamoto and the team that you, it just doesn't feel fair is what I'm saying ultimately. And the deferred money is the thing that stood out the most to me and something that I absolutely did not like. And I just felt like, I don't know, something that we just broke people, we just don't know, deferred money. And I just... That's why it's part of the trifecta. All right, there you go, ladies and gentlemen.
That's a magic number.
Right here on 670 The Score, it is Gabe Ramirez broadcasting live from the Score Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. And I did mention before the trifecta, I said that Will Perdue, Bulls legend, said that the Bulls should use Vooch in the way that this Western Conference team uses their superstar. If your guess was the Joker for the Nuggets, then you were absolutely right. Take a listen to Will Perdue discuss. Oh, I got you. 694E. I got you. So I think the interesting part about the comp that he's making with Joker is, listen, I was at the game last year in Chicago in January, and it was against the Denver Nuggets, and I saw the Joker have 17 assists and affect the game. Not with scoring points, but in another way. Listen to what Perdue talk about.
He makes good decisions, and I've talked about this since he's been here. You know, the interesting thing, if you go back and look at his numbers, some of his best games, and honestly, his best game last season was against Jokic in Denver. And I keep asking myself, why aren't we playing more like the Nuggets play with the ball in Vooch's hands? Because I feel like he can make those good decisions. He can shoot the ball well enough that Will, it's going to pull his man out of the paint. He can do the dribble weave. He can knock down the three. And they've started to do that. And I think, as you just pointed out, that's had a lot to do with it. You know, the interesting thing is you said he's got to hit that mid-range little floater, right? Casey Johnson just had in his article last night after the game that in the past, in that 5 to 8 foot range, Jokic with that little floater has been at 77%. I think that's the number. Right now he's only hitting 66 because he got up to such a slow start, but he has improved dramatically over the last probably 10 or 12 games. And I haven't been to practice, but some of the video that guys have been shooting that have been at practice, What do you see? You see Vooch in the background practicing that shot after practice, getting in the extra work, and that extra work is starting to pay off.
The funniest thing yesterday was the Bulls were on fire from the three-point line in the fourth quarter, and Vooch was, like, having a terrible shooting night from the three-point line, that is. And then the Bulls had hit, like, five straight or something like that, and then here comes Vooch with a pull-up three and just, like, clanks off the backboard, hits the side of the rim. I've been preaching Vooch for 2 years now. I told anyone that was listening, Vooch, I said there's 200 and some people in the NBA. Only 12 of them average 10 rebounds a game. Vooch is second in the league or third in the league at the time. Like, it's hard to grab someone that can duplicate that. And so for me, it was Vooch all the way. I'm glad he's doing well, and he's certainly someone the Bulls can continue to build around. He just be a little more selective with those with that three-point shot. All right, coming up next, we're going to talk some Chicago Bears with Hub Arkish. Specifically going to have the opportunity to talk about Kyler Murray. Does he think that the Cardinals are a different team than the one that their statistics show? Because that is from a season that was primarily led by Josh Dobbs. What does Hub Arkish think about the upcoming matchup against the Arizona Cardinals?
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again, but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In app only.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
We'll discuss that next right here on 670 The Score.
Gabe Ramirez on 670 The Score.
What ways, when you watch film, does maybe going up against or having Justin go out there every day, is that prepare you to face somebody like Kyler Murray? And then maybe what way is it different?
Yeah, you know, when you're facing a quarterback that has mobility, you know, you certainly have to, you know, account for that, you know, every single play, because those guys can really hurt you with their legs, you know, in the passing game, you know, and the design runs, you know, so you always got to be accounting for that.
That was Coach Eberflus talking about Kyler Murray, the issues he may present for the Chicago Bears, and, you know, maybe areas that he feels comfortable in, because he has seen a guy like Justin Fields and what he can bring. And so it'll be interesting to see what that looks like this Sunday as the Bears take on the Arizona Cardinals. And for that, we get to talk with our next guest about joining us on the guest hotline presented by Circus Sports in Illinois. He is our senior football analyst here on 670 Score. Good friend of the show, Hub Arkish. Hub, good evening.
How you doing, Gabe?
You know, hanging in there, Hub. I want to start with this, and it is that I feel like this week I've been pushed more towards the center on the future of the Bears, where I feel like I was always in one direction, and it was clear as day. And then all of a sudden, I feel like I've been getting, you know, more takes and good opinions on the other side, and I'm reading everything, and I'm like, man, you know, I'm still here. And I even just talked to Marshall Harris, who was in the studio, and we were talking about Justin Fields. And I said, well, what are you going to say about him, or what do you have to say about him? And he's like, give me till the end of the season. Excuse me, to be able to do that. So, I mean, I know you and I had that conversation earlier where you said, I need more games. I need more time. I need more. And so I'm curious, are you still there, or are you like a guy like Marshall Harris where you still need these last three games to come to a complete and final assessment?
Well, you know, Gabe, as you know well from working together for the last 14 or 15 weeks, I've been trying to get everybody to the center, you know, and saying that we need to have the full season evaluation, and we need to see how much, in particularly these young players and these new free agents have evaluated, you know, both as players or for the free agents in the system, you know, that Eberflus is trying to put together. And I'm still there. I mean, you know, there's some guys who I've made up my mind on, who I've seen enough progress from, you know, who I feel good about, who I think are now part of the future of the Bears. But there's also a number of guys, and of course it starts with Justin Fields, and then it goes to a few other, you know, top guys who, yeah, I still need the last 3 weeks to come to a formal conclusion, you know, and nothing's going to happen in the next 3 weeks that is going to say, oh, now I know exactly who, you know, Fields is at this or at that or whatever. But we're going to be at the point where you have to make a decision. Are you better off committing and going forward with him and not addressing the position, or do you have to address the position? And I think I know where I'm at on that, but I do want to see the last 3 weeks to finally say, you know, now we've got to make a decision, and this is what you got to do.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting one for sure. Now, I'm curious, you know, because what we can say about the Chicago Bears is that they are headed in the right direction, right? In terms of where they are at compared to where they were. And when you're looking at a team that they're going to be facing on Sunday in the Arizona Cardinals, you know, we talked to a guy that said, you know, maybe they might be moving on from a Kyler Murray, or they might be heading in a different direction. Would you agree that the Bears are in a better position in the present than the Arizona Cardinals are?
Yeah, I think so. I think that the Bears have a little more young talent on the roster than the Cardinals do. I think that they have similar situations. I don't want to call them problems at quarterback, you know, but they both have decisions to make. I think for the Cardinals, it's more about Murray just staying healthy and playing some more. I think they know more about him as a passer, as a quarterback, than the Bears do about Fields. But, I think I would say, you can look at the record, if nothing else. The Bears are in a better position right now than the Cardinals. The Bears are a little better team right now than the Cardinals, and that's why they're favored Sunday, and that's why they should win Sunday.
Yeah, and I ask it because I think about Kyler Murray, Hub, and I feel like when I've been talking about this game this week, where I thought Kyler Murray was still viewed as a, you know, top half quarterback in the league, it seems like everybody I've talked to, they're just like, Kyler Murray? No, I'd much rather have Justin Fields. And I feel like Kyler Murray isn't that guy. I'm curious your thoughts on a Kyler Murray and then compared to a Justin Fields.
You know, Gabe, and I think you do know this because, you know, I've talked about it. I've been trying to figure out all year what people have seen that tells them that Justin Fields is a better quarterback than Kyler Murray. You know, I mean, what plays has he made? What's he done on the field? It's not about what kind of athlete he is, or the fact that he does make a really impressive play, you know, every once in a while, far more often on the run than passing the ball. But, you know, I suspect, and again, you know, he's played a little bit more. I suspect the Cardinals know more about Murray as a passer, as a quarterback, than the Bears do about Fields. But there is no way that I could say right now that I would flat out take Justin Fields over Kyler Murray. I don't know what people have seen on the football field. I know everybody loves blaming Luke Getsy for it. I think that's just ridiculous. but you know, that's just fans who think. Do people understand that they don't know a single play that has been called by Luke Getsy just because it's worked out that way, just because of what you've seen on the field? But it's not because, you know, Fields is a great quarterback and Getsy's a bad coach. That doesn't make sense at all. I haven't made up my mind yet about Getsy as an offensive coordinator any more than I have about Fields as a quarterback. But I do know that Justin Fields' shortcomings right now those are Justin Fields' fault. They are not Luke Getsy's fault.
Yeah, and it's interesting you bring that up because, you know, everyone assumes that the solution is just a new offensive coordinator, right? And that, to me, that just seems like another person you'd be putting the blame on if you have Justin Fields under center in the event that he doesn't come through, right? In the event that he doesn't materialize into the quarterback that most people think he's going to be.
You know, Gabe, the crazy thing about that is all those people who are saying that have never been coaches. They've never had to make a play call. They've never seen the game plan. And I don't know what they think they're evaluating Getsy on. That's up to Matt Eberflus. Only Matt Eberflus and Ryan Poles right now can evaluate Luke Getsy. And I can assure you that whatever their evaluation is, they are not as negative about him as all these fans and crazy people are who just say, fire Luke Getsy. That's the answer, because that's not an answer to anything right now.
Yeah. What do you think the game plan is going to be for Sunday? You know, you're looking at, you know, an Arizona Cardinals team that, you know, is giving up a ton of rushing yards a game. Bears, you know, still have each one of their running backs kind of banged up, right? None of them are necessarily at 100%. So do you think they're going to lean on that run game on Sunday, or do you think they're going to come close to the 40 attempts Justin Fields had last Sunday against the
Cleveland.
Thank you, Cleveland.
Mm-hmm. Well, the 40 attempts against Cleveland were because Cleveland is the number one defense in the
NFL.
Right. It wasn't because, you know, Luke Getsy was giving up on the run. It was also because of the injuries in the run, but it was just there was nothing wrong with the game plan for last Sunday, and it wasn't either Matt Eberflus's fault or Luke Getsy's fault that they lost that game. At the end of the day, they actually played very well against one of the better teams in the NFL, and so once again, in this rebuilding year, there was more positive last Sunday than there was negative. It just drives everybody nuts because it's the third time in the last, 5 weeks or 6 weeks that they've lost a game in the fourth quarter. But, you know, as far as this weekend, they better rely on the run game. You know, not only is it something that Arizona struggles with terribly, but it's what they do best.
Yeah.
You know, and so you take whoever is the healthiest of the three or the four, and you let them be the lead guy. But, yeah, they've got to run the football at least 25, 30 times. I would try, hopefully, anybody who is active, I have to assume, is healthy. So I would use all three of them. But, the game plan for Sunday has to be, let's do what we do best on offense, which is run the football. And some of that can be with Justin Fields. You know, some of that should be designed runs for Justin Fields. But a lot of that success has to come when Fields improvises. And there's nothing wrong with that. He does that really well. What's wrong with that is when it was a pass that was called and the play is there and he's just not seeing it. That's what is slowing his development so much, and that's what they have to figure out a way to fix if he's going to play quarterback for him.
We're talking to Hub Arkish, our Score senior football analyst here on 670. It's Gabe Ramirez on a Friday night. Hub, that was literally my next question was, you know, because I feel like last game, you know, he didn't have as many design runs, or they're not necessarily utilizing it as much on a third and one if they are in that shotgun situation. How many runs in your mind is ideal for Justin Fields? Because some people are coming out, right, and saying, hey, like Mark Sanchez, you have a running quarterback. This is who he is. He is Cam Newton. Run the ball with him right now while you have him in his prime. But some people say, hey, that you don't want the inevitable to happen for him to get injured. Where do you stand on that?
Well, I mean, you can't make decisions based on concerns about injury. You do want to protect your quarterback. We know that the more they run, the more dangerous it is. But if that's what he does best, you have to do some of it. Now, you know, these crazy fans who want him to run the ball 12, 14 times a game, that is not an answer to developing a quarterback. And there's also this perception that, you know, it's all about your game plan and what you decide to do, as opposed to the reality that it is developing and evolving as the game is being played. And seeing how the Browns were defending it last week, seeing how the Cardinals are going to defense it Sunday, that is going to determine how often, you know, they run with Justin or how often they're calling certain pass plays for him. But at the end of the day, it all comes back to where they started the season on day one, which is, is Justin Fields developing as a pocket passer? And that's another thing. It's driving fans nuts, and I don't understand why, because the reality is you have to be not good, but near great as a pocket passer to be a franchise quarterback. And that's what they want Justin Fields to be. So stop all the stupid garbage about, you know, why is Getsy not running with him more? Why are they asking him to be a pocket passer? Because that's what they're trying to develop. That's what you're looking for in having a franchise quarterback.
It's literally, it's so funny, though, because I literally just had this conversation with somebody like, oh, but look at the first three games of the season, trying to make him a pocket passer. I said, no. They were trying to help him become one, like trying to put that in his tool belt so that way he can have it. And yeah, they're not going to lean on it for the rest of the season, but what are they going to do? Just only call runs and never have or rollouts and never have him throw from the pocket because he's not good at it? No, you have to call those plays too in that situation. One last question for you, Hub, before I let you go. Someone who, you know, had his best game of the season last week, could be pivotal in Justin Fields, you know, whether he has a good game or not. And that is Tyler Scott. I had the most targets of the season, most receptions of the season. And, you know, we've seen growth from guys like Kyler Gordon last year. We've seen it in Tyreek Stevenson, maturity level from him this year. Even Javon Dexter and Zach Pickens, the rookies. Is it the same for a guy like Tyler Scott where, like, you just have to wait? You know, because we waited for Velus Jones and it didn't happen. But I'm curious, you know, with more output from Tyler Scott as of late, where people were assuming he'd be good earlier in the season, like, is that what we're experiencing or was that an outlier of a week for him?
You know, Gabe, it's funny with these rookies because several of them have played better than I thought they would as rookies or hoped they could, and others have been a little disappointing. And Tyler Scott is somebody who the first, you know, 10, 12, 13 weeks I did expect more from. He did make a couple plays last Sunday. You know, he did show up. He does, I think it's obvious, have the athletic ability. And so I think that last Sunday that was good to see. And if he can build on that this week, that is another real positive for some of the positives that have been happening. I haven't seen anything to suggest, oh, it was a bad pick. He's not going to be an NFL receiver. But we also have not seen him consistently make enough of the kind of plays that he made last Sunday. So it was good to see last Sunday. I do hope that they can, you know, expand on that this Sunday. I think the other thing that has to be figured out at this point is what's wrong with Darnell Mooney, because he just hasn't been the receiver, you know, that you expect him to be. Yeah. And had he made that incredible catch at the end of the game to win the game, yeah, it would have been, you know, obviously huge and a great moment, but it also would have been a great play because it was a very difficult ball to catch. So I certainly don't blame him for that losing that game. But all season long, we've been waiting for more from him. And you know, if they don't get more from him, then Tyler Scott has to develop because you need at least three, probably four wide receivers you can count on at any given time in a game. And right now, do the Bears have more than one?
So thin, Hub, when it comes to the wide receiver position. I mean,
yeah.
After DJ Moore, I mean, you were expecting something from Mooney. You wanted Equanimeous to be healthy, but the fact that they're not, you're left with Tyler Scott, Velus Jones, and Trent Taylor. It's just, you know, you look at that and you're like, oh, man, the Bears didn't address that as well as I thought they did. You know, they got DJ Moore, but, you know, after that, it's a steep decline after that.
You know, and that's why I told you what I did the other night when we were hosting together is – I have made up my mind about one thing. If, in fact, the Bears end up with the number one pick in the draft, I do use the pick, and I use it on Marvin Harrison Jr. Because having Marvin Harrison Jr. and DJ Moore, that fixes everything. You know, and you're still going to need a third and a fourth, but now you've got two guys who are probably, I mean, one's already a number one receiver, and the other one I think is going to be, and maybe even better than Moore, we'll see. And I think that the best way to immediately fix the offense, and quite possibly, if you are committed to continuing to try and develop Fields, the best thing for Justin Fields or whoever the next quarterback is to have those two receivers plus Cole Kmet to play with. So I feel pretty strongly about that one. I think that they should keep the pick and use it on Marvin Harrison Jr. I do think there's going to be at least four, maybe as many as six quarterbacks taken in the first round. I am not convinced that Caleb Williams is the best one, or I shouldn't say that. He probably is the best one right now, but I'm not convinced he's going to be a franchise quarterback. But I do think there's a very real chance that at least one or two of these other guys is going to be, and you can get him with your own pick. And so that's the only decision that I have finally come to is I'm pretty – I could change my mind in the next 3 weeks, but I'm pretty sure that's what I would do if I was Ryan Bowles.
Yeah, and the Bears don't have a second-round pick, right, Hub? So I could see them wanting to leverage the situation that they're currently in, to not only, you know, check off some of the boxes, but then also, you know, get some extra picks to maybe get some high-end, high-caliber defensive players to continue to build that defense.
If you're gonna trade Justin Fields, you're not going to get a number one, but you might be able to get two number twos, and so that could be another part of their thinking once they get to that point.
Two number twos? No one's thrown that out there. That's a great one. That sounds like a good little haul for Justin Fields if you're going to be in that direction. Hub, I appreciate you hanging out with me as always. Have a great weekend, and I know I'll talk to you again next week.
Yeah, and Gabe, have a great Christmas, and to all of our listeners, have a great holiday weekend.
That's Hub Arkish, ladies and gentlemen, our senior football analyst here on 670 The Score. Great stuff as always. He did say, we hosted the show together on Tuesday. He was like, Marvin Harrison Jr. at one, quarterback at the second pick. I loved it. You love different takes because you got to throw them all out there so that way you can come up with the one that you like the best. All right, and sometimes you got to do that with bets. That's why our next guest, Kate Constable, she's going to help us out. So we don't have to do too much thinking. She could do it all for us. Here's my air quotes, locks for the weekend, or the one that she's going to actually be betting on. We'll find that out from our next guest, Kate Constable, on the other side. It's Gabe Ramirez right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
We're back live with more Gabe Ramirez on 670 The Score.
Great cash, homie.
Gabe Ramirez here on 670 The Score. A lot of people are feeling a certain type of way about Hubs and our conversation a second ago. I mean, look, somebody said, I'll trade back to New England and get their number two pick and their second round pick. Let me tell you something. If the Bears move from one to two, they better get more than just a second round pick. To be very clear there. But it's going to be a good one, man. I'm telling you, this game on Sunday, all the statistics say, oh, Bears should win. Why? Because they're factoring in stats from before Kyler Murray got there for 10 games. So, you know what I'm saying? Like, you're facing a different guy who's 5 weeks removed from coming back, so now he's feeling a little bit better. It's just, I don't know. To me, it seems like a trap game, but that's why we get to talk to our next guest about this. Joining us on the Circus Sports Illinois hotline, she is the host of The Better Angle. You can catch her on a bunch of other things as well, everywhere, because like myself, she has a lot of different jobs. That's just how it is in this business. And it is Kate Constable. Kate, what up?
Dave, how are you? Hey, ton of jobs, that's the way to go these days, right?
Yeah.
A little bit of everything.
That's what I'm saying. It's gotta be funky. Where are you leaning on this game on Sunday, Kate? I feel like I made a big bet, and I'll tell you just because I know you do the gambling show. I made a big bet last Sunday. Put 175 down, and I know you don't like the parlays, but I put it on a five-leg parlay. Four of them are clean in. Justin Fields is 166 yards. I had Justin Fields over 200. The Hail Mary hits. I win $4,200.
Oh, Gabe.
I know. Gabe. Trust me. It was just...
That's a rough one. That's a rough pill to swallow right there.
Because everybody's watching me at the end of the game, Kate. And they think my mouth is on the floor because he dropped the ball and the Bears lose. And I'm like, no, it's because my wallet lost. Isn't that a big L? But where are you at on this game on Sunday? Clearly, I won't do a parlay this Sunday, but I do want to place the bet. Where are you at?
Hey, I've been doing way more parlays than I used to. So I'm
naughty.
Starting to get to your level.
Santa's naughty list, Kate. Okay.
I am. I'm getting cold for Christmas this year. In terms of this game, I'm kind of with you in what you just said, that this does feel like a little bit of a trap line, like 4.5. When was the last time the Bears were favored by 4.5? That just seems too big. So I'm going to look towards the over in this game. That's how I'm going to play this one, because I would love a Bears victory. I would love the Bears to cover this line. I'm just not totally confident that that's going to happen. But you've got to imagine, like, two teams who are not necessarily playing for a whole lot in terms of playoff position. Like, the Bears are not making the playoffs. I know they're still not mathematically eliminated, but it's more than likely not going to happen. So you have a ton of players who are going out there to kind of show out and prove what they can do, and that lends itself more to an offensive game. I mean, the defensive side, like, do players really want to be – banging around and tackling hard and, you know, putting their bodies on the line when there's not a whole lot that matters, right?
That's a great point.
I'm going with the over 44 in this one.
I think, like, hearing you say that out loud sounds like such a lock. Like, you know, the defense for the Cardinals already is suspect. You know, the Bears offense is decent, so they're going to put up some points. And then you know that they have Kyler Murray, and the Bears defense is known to just like fumble the bag a couple times. And so, so 43 just sounds like an absolute lock right now, but I don't want to say that.
Yeah, it's going to be a nice day, a nice, like, what, 50 degree day in December, Christmas Eve?
People are going to be feeling good.
Got
phone calls from Grams earlier in the day, you know, like in the morning, you went and called grandma, and now you're feeling good. I'm looking at somebody's player props. I'm a sucker for high value player props. Like, you know, I don't want to bet any time touchdown score, because that's just the odds are too low for me right there, right? Like, I want something sexier. So I go to first touchdown score. I know that's not your jam, because I know you're more calculated than that, Kate Constable. but I'm trying to take you out of your element with this one. Let's go to the game. Let's think about game flow, right? And tell me, use your betting strategies to pick me a first touchdown scorer.
Oh, gosh. Well, I would say there's, you know, try and establish the run a little, right, in order to open up the passing game. But I'm not going to go there at all for first touchdown score. I'm going to go with Kmet. I mean, he's kind of like everyone likes to look towards the DJ Moore or Mooney. I mean, even Roshan Johnson actually wouldn't be a terrible pick now that I'm thinking about it. But Kmet, it just feels like Kmet's getting a lot of action a little bit earlier in the game. He would be my favorite for a first touchdown. And I think he scored the first touchdown in multiple games this season.
Yeah.
So his odds aren't like a top of the board. Like, you're going to get a better number on him than you are a Mooney or anything like that, or a Moore, rather. So Cole Kmet would be who I would look towards.
Yeah, 9-1. I like that all day. Sounds like a guy who gets targets, especially in the red zone. I do like the Roshan Johnson, though, the 13-1, because, you know, Deontay Foreman is banged up, or not banged up, personal reasons, hasn't been practicing this week. So he might not even be on the field. And so goal line situation, give it to Roshan, just let him kind of handle his business. I don't know, Kate. I might be in on that 13-1.
Now that I said that out loud, it was like I wasn't planning on that name coming out of my mouth. But now that I said it, it does kind of sound good.
We're talking to Kate Constable here on 670 The Score. Gabe Ramirez here on a Friday night. Kate, talk to me about the rest of the NFL slate. You know, I'm a sucker for a good underdog, right? Trying to find the mispriced underdog of the week. But where is your mind or eyes taking you on this week 16 NFL slate?
Okay, Gabe, so this, if you want a mispriced underdog that, like, I don't know if my thinking is right here, but take the Panthers plus the 4.5 or 5 if you can still get that. I know that sounds crazy, but, like,
especially for a Bears fan. World,
what?
Especially for especially for a Bears fan. It's like, no. I'm not betting with them. But tell me more, because this is interesting. At home.
In what world, are the Panthers or are the Packers like only a 4-point favorite over the Panthers? Like, yes, the Panthers won last week, but it was, what, a 9-7 win over the Falcons?
I see what you're saying.
The books are just putting that number out there just to bait you, and they want people to take that and think, okay, Packers are going to, you know, just blow them away, which they certainly could. Like, I think Green Bay is a far better team than Carolina, but the number right there, like, this is strictly a play just on that number is fishy, and I think the books are trying to bait the public a little.
It's interesting that you say that. One, because Vegas will certainly tell on itself with some of their lines that they put out there, and 4.5 is certainly like one of the, you mentioned, like, trap ones like that. But the other thing is that, you know, Carolina has a pretty good defense, and like, they've been holding teams as of late. They couldn't overcome the turnovers earlier in the season. That's why they were giving a lot of points earlier in the season. But as of late, they've been doing a better job, I'll say. And I wonder if that's factoring into the equation, maybe the running back situation for the Green Bay Packers. But you're right, 4.5, you know, when you think about that, like, just like scrolling through, like, oh my God, 4.5, Packers definitely win that. Bet some money on that, right? But it's the trap of it. How do you, okay, I'm big on theory, game theory, when it comes to gambling, right? Like, how do you have the guts to still lay that bet, though, right? Because you're trying to say, wait, Vegas is telling me something with the 4.5. I want to lay this on the other side. Like, how do you even just go with your gut there as opposed to just drawing a black line through the game and moving on?
I mean, that's the smart bettor might just draw a black line through the game and move on. Here, Dave, do not put that in a parlay. That's what you
Damn
have
it.
To do. If that's a bet you're going to take that one as a single bet. not in a parlay, because I don't want the last leg of my parlay to come down to the Panthers covering. That's okay. An absolute nightmare right there.
All right, tell me some other games that you like on this week's NFL slate.
Yeah, I love the Cowboys. I'll take the Cowboys on the money line in Miami. I mean, the narrative around the Cowboys is they can't win on the road. They're great at home, can't do anything on the road, but they are 9-1 against the spread coming off of a loss. And what's the narrative around the Dolphins? They don't beat good teams. Mm. So both, like, that's where you kind of have to be careful around, like, these narratives or trends with teams, because any one narrative for one team can kind of be negated by a narrative for another team. And I just worry about the Dolphins because they do have a pretty banged up offensive line. They also have a banged up secondary. I mean, three starters questionable. I believe one of their backup corners is questionable. And that just opens things up for Dak to take, you know, shots down the field, a big game from CeeDee Lamb or Brandon Cooks, something like that. And then especially with the Dallas pass rush going up against a pretty injured offensive line for the Dolphins, it just does not scream success for me. So I'm on the Cowboys on the road. I mean, take them +1.5 if you want a little buffer and to be safe, but I think just riding with them on the money line is the way to go.
I love it. All right, Kate, before I let you go, you know I'm a big Bulls fan. Bulls right now, +285 to make the playoffs. I've said yes because I'm in on the Bulls, and I have been since Zach's been out. And I love Zach, by the way. I just like the way they're playing, and it's more of an indictment on the Eastern Conference than it is an endorsement of the Chicago Bulls. But they're +285 to make it. What say you, Kate Constable?
Oh, man. Before the season started, I would have told you to take the Bulls win total under, and I still might, but plus, what did you say it was? +275?
+285 to make the playoffs.
285. I mean, yeah, why not? I'm not sold on the Atlanta Hawks. They could jump them. The Cavs have been struggling big time. I'm not sold on them either. And the Pacers don't seem to want to play hard, especially defensively, unless they're in some sort of tournament or, you know, where games matter. So for the Bulls to be able to jump that and get into at least a play-in spot the way they've been playing lately, I think that's certainly a possibility, especially, you know, if the Bulls do end up trading Zach LaVine and maybe they get a piece back that fits into this offense, you know, more of a flow offense a little bit better than I'm with you too. I love Zach too, and I don't want to bash him by any means, but it is a different style of game without him on the floor. And maybe, you know, trade deadline comes and the two parties part ways and the Bulls get someone back that can help them continue to stack wins. So I'm all with you, Gabe. Plus 285, let's do it.
That's my thinking right there. The Bulls are playing well, and the reserves are coming. We don't know what that will be just yet, but they will be on their way. Kate, I appreciate you giving us some insight and some opportunities to make some money this weekend.
Thanks, Gabe. Have a great Christmas.
Of course, Kate Constable, one of the best. She is like, you know how like you might have been a good student and got an A, but then there was the girl that was next to you that got an A and like knew all the answers. Like you had to go study for the test.
Yeah, don't say that because we were classmates at Iowa.
What do you mean? So I know this. So what is it? Am I saying something bad?
No. You're saying that about her, and it's funny because like we were actually classmates.
Right.
It's just so weird.
So I know it's true. You know it's true.
You're right.
You got an A because you studied for the exam. She got an A because she read the chapter before class, and already knew what the people were going to be talking about. Yep, I know what that means. That's why you got to follow people like that when it comes to gambling, ladies and gentlemen. All right, and you got to follow me into the next segment. Why? Because we're going to get an opportunity to talk to Howard Balzer. You want some insight into the Arizona Cardinals? Do you want to know if maybe the Arizona Cardinals could be a potential trade partner for the Bears? Maybe they want to go from 3-1 and move on from Kyler Murray. I heard that from somebody else that covered the Arizona Cardinals. Does Howard Balzer agree with that? We'll talk to him after the break. Don't go anywhere. It's Gabe Ramirez right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In app only.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
Hog Sports Radio 670 The Score.
We're back. Live with more Gabe Ramirez on 670 The Score.
Great cash, homie.
Gabe Ramirez here on 670 The Score. A lot of people are feeling a certain type of way about Hubs and our conversation a second ago. I mean, look. Somebody said, I'll trade back to New England and get their number two pick and their second round pick. Let me tell you something. If the Bears move from one to two, they better get more than just a second-round pick. To be very clear there. But it's going to be a good one, man. I'm telling you, this game on Sunday, all the statistics say, oh, Bears should win. Why? Because they're factoring in stats from before Kyler Murray got there for 10 games. So, you know what I'm saying? Like, you're facing a different guy who's 5 weeks removed from coming back, so now he's feeling a little bit better. It's just, I don't know. To me, seems like a trap game, but that's why. We get to talk to our next guest about this. Joining us on the Circus Sports Illinois hotline, she is the host of The Better Angle. You can catch her on a bunch of other things as well everywhere because, like myself, she has a lot of different jobs. That's just how it is in this business, and it is Kate Constable. Kate, what up?
Dave, how are you?
Hey,
ton of jobs. That's the way to go these days, right?
Yeah,
a little bit of everything.
That's what I'm saying. It's got to be funky. Where are you leaning on this game on Sunday, Kate? I feel like I was telling the guys I made a big bet, and I'll tell you just because I know you do the gambling show. I made a big bet last Sunday, put 175 down, and I know you don't like the parlays, but I put it on a five-leg parlay. Four of them are clean in. Justin Fields is 166 yards. I had Justin Fields over 200. The Hail Mary hits. I win $4,200.
Oh, Gabe.
I know.
Gabe.
Trust me. It was just.
That's a rough one. That's a rough pill to swallow right there.
Because everybody's watching me at the end of the game, Kate.
Yep.
And they think my mouth is on the floor because he dropped the ball and the Bears lose. And I'm like, no. It's because my wallet lost. It took a big L. But where are you at on this game on Sunday? Clearly, I won't do a parlay this Sunday. But I do want to place the bet. Where are you at?
Hey, I've been doing way more parlays than I used to. So I'm
naughty.
Starting to get to your level.
Santa's naughty, Miss Kate. Okay.
I am. I'm getting cold for Christmas this year. In terms of this game, I'm kind of with you in what you just said, that this does feel like a little bit of a trap line, like 4.5. When was the last time the Bears were favored by 4.5? That just seems too big. So I'm going to look towards the over in this game. That's how I'm going to play this one because I would love a Bears victory. I would love the Bears to cover this line. I'm just not totally confident that that's going to happen. But you've got to imagine, like, two teams who are not necessarily playing for a whole lot in terms of playoff position. Like, the Bears are not making the playoffs. I know they're still not mathematically eliminated, but it's more than likely not going to happen. So you have a ton of players who are going out there to kind of show out and prove what they can do, and that lends itself more to an offensive game. I mean, the defensive side, like, do players really want to be banging around and tackling hard and, you know, putting their bodies on the line when there's not a whole lot that matters, right?
That's a great point.
So I'm going with the over 44 in this one.
I think, like, hearing you say that out loud sounds like such a lock. Like, you know, the defense for the Cardinals already is suspect. You know, the Bears' offense is decent, so they're going to put up some points. And then you know that they have Kyler Murray, and the Bears' defense is known to just, like, fumble the bag a couple times. And so, so 43 just sounds like an absolute lock right now. But I don't want to say that.
Yeah, it's going to be a nice day, a nice, like, what, 50-degree day
50
in
degrees.
December, Christmas Eve?
People are going to be feeling good.
Got
phone calls from Grams earlier in the day, you know, like in the morning. You went and called Grandma, and now you're feeling good. I'm looking at somebody's player props. I'm a sucker for high value player props. Like, you know, I don't want to bet any time touchdown score because that's just the odds are too low for me right there. Right, like I want something sexier, so I go to first touchdown score. I know that's not your jam because I know you're more calculated than that, Kate Constable. but I'm trying to take you out of your element with this one. Let's go to the game. Let's think about game flow, right? And tell me, use your betting strategies to pick me a first touchdown scorer.
Oh, gosh. Well, I would say there's, you know, try and establish the run a little, right, in order to open up the passing game. But I'm not going to go there at all for first touchdown score. I'm going to go with Kmet. I mean, he's kind of like everyone likes to look towards the DJ Moore or Mooney. I mean, even Roshan Johnson actually wouldn't be a terrible pick now that I'm thinking about it. But Kmet, it just feels like Kmet's getting a lot of action a little bit earlier in the game. He would be my favorite for a first touchdown. And I think he scored the first touchdown in multiple games this season.
Yeah.
So his odds aren't like a top of the board. Like, you're going to get a better number on him than you are a Mooney or anything like that, or a Moore, rather. So Cole Kmet would be who I would look towards.
Yeah, 9-1. I like that all day. Sounds like a guy who gets targets, especially in the red zone. I do like the Roshan Johnson, though, the 13-1, because, you know, Deontay Foreman's banged up, or not banged up, personal reasons, hasn't been practicing this week. So he might not even be on the field. And so goal line situation, give it to Roshan, just let him kind of handle his business. I don't know, Kate. I might be in on that 13-1.
Now that I said that out loud, it was like that wasn't. I wasn't planning on that name coming out of my mouth, but now that I said it, it does kind of sound good.
We're talking to Kate Constable here on 670 The Score. Gabe Ramirez here on a Friday night. Kate, talk to me about the rest of the NFL slate. You know I'm a sucker for a good underdog, right? Trying to find the mispriced underdog of the week. But where is your mind or eyes taking you on this week 16 NFL slate?
Okay, Gabe, so this, if you want a mispriced underdog that, like, I don't know if my thinking is right here, but take the Panthers plus the 4.5 or 5 if you can still get that. I know that sounds crazy, but, like,
especially for
in
a Bears
what
fan.
World? What?
Especially for,
yeah, right?
Especially for a Bears fan. It's like, no. I'm not betting with them. But tell me more, because this is interesting. At home.
In what world, are the Panthers or are the Packers like only a 4-point favorite over the Panthers? Like, yes, the Panthers won last week, but it was, what, a 9-7 win over the Falcons?
I see what you're saying. You're
like, the books are just putting that number out there just to bait you, and they want people to take that and think, okay, Packers are going to, you know, just blow them away, which they certainly could. Like, I think Green Bay is a far better team than Carolina, but the number right there, like, this is strictly a play just on that number is fishy, and I think the books are trying to bait the public a little.
It's interesting that you say that. One, because Vegas will certainly tell on itself with some of their lines that they put out there, and 4.5 is certainly like one of the, you mentioned, like, trap ones like that. But the other thing is that, you know, Carolina has a pretty good defense, and like, they've been holding teams as of late. They couldn't overcome the turnovers earlier in the season. That's why they were giving a lot of points earlier in the season. But as of late, they've been doing a better job, I'll say. And I wonder if that's factoring into the equation, maybe the running back situation for the Green Bay Packers. But you're right, 4.5, you know, when you think about that, like, just like scrolling through, like, oh my God, 4.5, Packers definitely win that. Bet some money on that, right? But it's the trap of it. How do you, okay, I'm big on theory, game theory, when it comes to gambling, right? Like, how do you have the guts to still lay that bet, though, right? Because you're trying to say, wait, Vegas is telling me something with the 4.5. I want to lay this on the other side. Like, how do you even just go with your gut there as opposed to just drawing a black line through the game and moving on?
I mean, that's The smart bettor might just throw a black line through the game and move on. Here, Gabe, do not put that in a parlay. That's what you have to do. If that's a bet you're going to take, take that one as a single bet, not in a parlay, because I don't want the last leg of my parlay to come down to the Panthers covering. That's an absolute nightmare right there.
All right, tell me some other games that you like on this week's NFL slate.
Yeah, I love the Cowboys. I'll take the Cowboys on the money line in Miami. I mean, the narrative around the Cowboys is they can't win on the road. They're great at home, can't do anything on the road, but they are 9-1 against the spread coming off of a loss. And what's the narrative around the Dolphins? They don't beat good teams. So both, like, that's where you kind of have to be careful around, like, these narratives or trends with teams, because any one narrative for one team can kind of be negated by a narrative for another team. And I just worry about the Dolphins because they do have a pretty banged up offensive line. They also have a banged up secondary. I mean, three starters questionable. I believe one of their backup corners is questionable. And that just opens things up for Dak to take, you know, shots down the field, a big game from CeeDee Lamb or Brandon Cook, something like that. And then especially with the Dallas pass rush going up against a pretty injured offensive line for the Dolphins, it just does not scream success for me. So I'm on the Cowboys on the road. I mean, take them plus 1.5 if you want a little buffer and to be safe, but I think just riding with them on the money line is the way to go.
I love it. All right, Kate, before I let you go, you know I'm a big Bulls fan. Bulls right now, plus 285 to make the playoffs. I've said yes because I'm in on the Bulls, and I have been since Zach's been out. And I love Zach, by the way. I just like the way they're playing, and it's more of an indictment on the Eastern Conference than it is an endorsement of the Chicago Bulls, but they're plus 285 to make it. What say you, Kate Constable?
Oh, man. Before the season started, I would have told you to take the Bulls win total under, and I still might, but plus, what did you say it was? Plus 275?
Plus 285 to make the playoffs.
285. I mean, yeah, why not? I'm not sold on the Atlanta Hawks. They could jump them. The Cavs have been struggling big time. I'm not sold on them either. And the Pacers don't seem to want to play hard, especially defensively, unless they're in some sort of tournament or, you know, where games matter. So for the Bulls to be able to jump that and get into at least a play-in spot the way they've been playing lately, I think that's certainly a possibility, especially, you know, if the Bulls do end up trading Zach LaVine and maybe they get a piece back that fits into this offense, you know, more of a flow offense a little bit better than I'm with you too. I love Zach too, and I don't want to bash him by any means, but it is a different style of game without him on the floor. And maybe, you know, trade deadline comes and the two parties part ways and the Bulls get someone back that can help them continue to stack wins. So I'm all with you, Gabe. Plus 285, let's do it.
That's my thinking right there. The Bulls are playing well and the reserves are coming. We don't know what that will be just yet, but they will be on their way. Kate, I appreciate you giving us some insight and some opportunities to make some money this weekend.
Thanks, Gabe. Have a great Christmas.
Of course, Kate Constable, one of the best. She is like, you know how like you might have been a good student and got an A, but then there was the girl that was next to you that got an A and like knew all the answers. Like you had to go study for the test.
Yeah, don't say that because we were classmates at Iowa.
What do you mean? So I know this. So what is it? Am I saying something bad?
No, you're saying that about her, and it's funny because like we were actually classmates.
Right.
It's just so weird.
So I know it's true. You know it's true.
You're right.
You got an A because you studied for the exam. She got an A because she read the chapter before class and already knew what the people were going to be talking about. Yep, I know what that means. That's why you got to follow people like that when it comes to gambling, ladies and gentlemen. All right, and you got to follow me into the next segment. Why? Because we're going to get an opportunity to talk to Howard Balzer. You want some insight into the Arizona Cardinals? Do you want to know if maybe the Arizona Cardinals could be a potential trade partner for the Bears? Maybe they want to go from 3-1 and move on from Kyler Murray. I heard that from somebody else that covered the Arizona Cardinals. Does Howard Balzer agree with that? We'll talk to him after the break. Don't go anywhere. It's Gabe Ramirez right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.